This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Text lines open with your questions, too, at 343-0106. As I mentioned before we went into the news break there, joined by Mobile's Mayor Sandy Stimson to talk more about the 2019 fiscal year budget that was signed off on by the Mobile City Council yesterday. Mayor, thanks for your time.
Good to be here, Sean.
Yeah, it's good to have you on, and a lot to talk about. Of course, I read what you posted up on Twitter yesterday about you did have some commendations, but generally, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you were disappointed by the council's decision to vote on that budget.
Yes, Sean. I mean, as I continue to say that we were disappointed, there's nothing that's changed my mind since we heard the information on how they voted. So as we have really thought about the consequences of that vote, it really just increases the disappointment.
And let's break it down that way, too, because you did this in your tweet yesterday. You said you were surprised by the City Council's decision to vote on the budget today. What's protocol? What's normal? Do they give your office, give you a heads up before they would vote on something like this?
You know, typically we know ahead of time that there was going to be a vote, and yesterday we were uncertain whether there would be one. During the pre-council meeting, the very end of the meeting, they mentioned that, you know, maybe we need to go ahead and take a vote, and so, but we were not aware of it prior to that.
Now, you said there was no public conversation on any of the cuts the council imposed. So were these not daylighted anywhere, for lack of a better term, where that somebody could have debated these?
Not to our knowledge. There may be something out there that we don't know, but to our knowledge, based on the public forums that were held, it was never in the public discourse. On another note, there were a lot of emails asking us very specific questions about funding various things. We answered all of those. All those answers are in writing. And so to our knowledge, there's nothing that hasn't been asked that we didn't provide, but at no point in time was the possibility of a Gulf Quest cut mentioned in any kind of public forum or to us.
Now, and I think that
possibility that the I-team would be cut.
Okay, I want to get to this Gulf Quest thing, because I've got a lot of calls and text about that this morning. Can you explain, in your tweet you said, by cutting funding to Gulf Quest, the city will be thrown into default on many of the grants tied to the museum. Can you flesh that out for us?
Yes, I think the number is $26 million, Sean, of FTA, Federal Transportation Grants, that the city accepted, you know, back when it was being built. And that money is amortized over a 40-year period, and we're only 3 years into that 40-year amortization. So if Gulf Quest closes permanently, the city will have to pay back 37/40th, you know, of that $26 million.
I mean, that comes up as a payment that this. So the match is, right, there's some portion that came from city funds, and then there was the federal money, but we would have to pay the feds their money?
Yes, we would have to pay the feds the money. We have been in communication with them. They brought it up to us probably either 2 or 3 years ago that they had not forgotten about, you know, the need for there to be a ferry terminal. And also they brought it up and sent us a letter probably early September about the ferry. So that's why we have been working to get the ferry up into the Delta and up into the port, you know, working with the new dock. So yesterday, because we know that the FTA is paying attention, we took the initiative to be proactive and called them and told them what had happened and told them that we did not, you know, it was early, we did not know what the pathway forward was, but that we would stay in communication with us. And so we just took the opportunity to ask them again about, you know, what happens if you go into default. And they were very nice about it, but they said, you know, you will owe 37/40 of the grant, and that's whatever that number is of $26 million.
Now, that would be, gosh, I hate to, that we're even talking this specific, but is that something that's due on receipt? Or, I mean, how does a municipality pay that? How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. We did not delve into that. I don't know if that's a, you know, you do it over a number of years. But that's, it's, you know, it's early in this process, so we still just don't know the answers to everything.
Now, you know, people were asking here that, but GulfQuest still getting, what, $500,000 in operating budget, right? Is that...
That's going to the salaries. That's correct. And there's additional money that goes to the pay for utilities. Now, but this was never the plan, you know, for GulfQuest. The idea was is that you would have, you know, the 300,000 visitors, and it would be self-sustaining. Well, it's not. And that's why we had to step in to keep from being in default a couple of years ago. And at that time, we knew all the consequences of being in default. That's why we opened it back up so that we wouldn't have to come up with the money to pay the feds back. And the city council is well aware of all of this, but they have a belief that the feds will not make us repay the money. And I don't know where that belief stems from, but and in what we believe.
Is there, I mean, is there precedent there? Is there some kind of loan forgiveness program or something, grant forgiveness program?
The FDA did not mention any forgiveness program yesterday when we talked to them. I can promise you that.
So, conceivably, that if GulfQuest shuts down, then we have, not to get into a blight discussion, but we'll have an empty building, but we will still, we being the taxpayers of Mobile, still have to pay the money back to the feds.
Yes, that would be correct. And really, too, Sean, you cannot let that building go dark and just walk away from it. It's got pumps that run, I don't know if it's 24 hours a day, but you know, a lot of that basement is under the tide line. And so there's got to be maintenance, and we own that building. So another consequence of other than not being able to just walk away is that we are thinking that this is going to endanger other federal grants. We're in default of this. We haven't been able to run that to ground yet, but you know, that could be devastating because you've got about probably on average $3 or $4 million of police grants on an annual basis. We've got, you know, Tiger Grant. We don't know the impact of all that, but you know, we would have never made a decision to put any of that at risk to find out what would happen. I mean, that's playing with a live hand grenade.
Right. Well, this decision, at least what I'm looking at here, is not one that's saying, you know, in favor or not in favor of GulfQuest. It seems to be just a decision on the dollars, right, to keep from having to pay the 20-some-odd million dollars back to the feds. It's penny dollar wise and penny foolish to cut the money.
Yes, that's correct. You know, but let's think about what we're trying to do in the city, and that's increased. One of the things we're trying to do is increase tourism. So activating the waterfront was hugely important. The staff at GulfQuest has done a phenomenal job keeping the doors open and growing the attendance a little bit. But we have spent, you know, $150,000 or a little less than $200,000 on a floating dock so that we could start running, you know, tours up into the Delta and into the port. We've started having the conversations about having these pop-up events so that we would drive people to the waterfront, hopefully to attend GulfQuest. And every single week, we have a senior staff, executive director meeting with people, our own staff and within the city about how do we drive more people to the waterfront? How do we do a better job utilizing GulfQuest and Cooper Riverside Park? Well, that just shoots all this in the foot.
I want to ask a little
bit. Shoots it in the head.
Yeah, I mean, it's done. Yeah, I want to ask a little bit about that. I know this may just be for not now, but I, you know, guessed about this when y'all had the unveiling and had the floating dock and all that going on the Mobile River. I was talking about on the show, I said this probably is something to do with living up to the letter of the grant for how GulfQuest started. Is that correct? Was I right on that?
Absolutely. You know, okay. The idea was let's start small, let's get you know, upon pontoon boat running in the Delta across up around the port. And so we actually took a trip to Daphne to figure out how do we establish a ferry between Mobile and Daphne, because that's the two closest points. And so it was a wonderful exploratory trip, and that was going to be evidence to the FTA that we were working toward fulfilling our obligation.
Right. You're not just doing it. I mean, I know it's a win-win. I know, coming from the administration's perspective, win-win. But the way I looked at it is, it's just something you had to check that box off to be able to stay current on that grant.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. I want to get into some more of the items here that you talked about here. After Gulf Quest, you did say, we were pleased that the council chose to support the administration's decision to improve the pay of our public works employees. While the council claimed credit for a 5% raise, the fact is the administration proposed an increase of more than $800,000 to go towards pay increases. Mayor Stimson, talk about that.
Sean, I think you just said it. We had already put $800,000+ toward giving raises within Public Works. So they moved money to the tune, I think, is $100,000, a little more than $100,000, and then they claimed credit for giving a 5% raise. Well, adding $100,000 onto $800,000, I don't know how you claim credit for giving them, the city council is giving them a 5% raise.
Looking through a couple other items here, there's a lot of them, of course, out of the 10, but some I stomped on. Number one, performance contracts. It says, $192,000 is to restore the proposed decreases to performance contracts. I remember in your first term, that was one of the initial items you were tackling with the city in the performance contracts.
That's correct, Sean. And let me say this, from a compassion standpoint, you know, my heart goes out to those organizations that are doing great work in the social areas of our city, and they certainly are worthy of funding. But our primary responsibility and the things we cannot turn our back on have to do with public safety, public works, and infrastructure. I mean, we've been trying to rebuild the city and improve the safety of the city since day one. So it comes down to choices. But we cannot abdicate our position on those primary issues that we've got to fund.
Now, the other one here, too, I looked at this. Well, there are so many, but they were limited on time. It was budget amendment number 9, the decreased liability fund, and increase Ladd Stadium public parks and rec to the tune of $750,000, $750,000. Says note, $200,000 of additional funds are earmarked for the walking biking trail and $550,000 for the maintenance and capital projects for a total appropriation of $950,000. Is this, do you feel, a retort that comes back over the whole the Ladd USA situation? Do you think that was specific?
Sean, I'd rather not speculate on that, but I'd say it's very cleverly crafted what was done. You know, putting the mayor in a difficult position, looked like I'm not for funding any of those items. And so that's not the case. If there was excess money available, I'd be glad to recommend as part of the budget that we do those. But we've worked since the month of May, all the way up to the time we submitted the budget to the city council, you know, trying to determine where the money was going to be best spent. And based on our priorities is how we delivered that budget to the city council. We respect their ability, you know, to change that. But by the same token, we will have to live with the consequences of their vote.
And that's what you said in your tweet yesterday, that we all have to live with the consequences of this vote. And those consequences are, as you lay out, I guess what the biggest one would be, this possibility of grant default. I don't know if that's the right term, but grant default to the feds, right?
Well, it is. But let me say this. That's, some people think the federal government is far away. Well, it's a big number. But the 9 banks that loan money to GovQuest, that trying to help it get over the hump, loan money to the foundation, you know, that's local. Most of that's local. And there's going to be some devastating impact from those loans not being able to be paid. And furthermore, the people that bought the new market tax credits in an effort to support this effort, now will have to go back and amend their personal tax returns and not claim those credits So if you happen to have been a person that purchased them, then you will be having to file that amended return. Well, let me just tell you that that is very bad for the city of Mobile, for investors out there to know that we allow that to happen.
There it is. So right now, by this budget, this sign off, your hands are tied? Can you do anything?
I don't want to. It's early. It's real early in this process. You know, this was happened about this time yesterday, a little bit before this time. We're still looking at it. So I don't want to paint myself into a corner. But, you know, I would just say that, the council has made their decision, and we've got to determine how we're going to live with the consequences of that, because I cannot fix. And will not fix some of the stuff, you know, that they won't fix. I don't have the ability to do it. It does not exist.
Mayor Sandy Simpson, thank you for your time. And as this goes forward, we'll try to get you back on the show to talk more about it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Now, come to the phones. A lot of people want to chime in on this. We can do it at 343-0106, 343-0106. You want to see those 10 budget items, they're linked through. If you'll go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, click the link there for three big things. Check it out right there. 12:30, check in with Dr. Bill, Westwood One News, and we'll be right back.